Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is your good friend, the very esteemed and well-travelled Clarence Copernicus Cloverleaf, welcoming you to another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio, hosted by the host with the most, Jimmy Falcon. You can always feel free to call in at 602-753-1883 to ask a question to the host or any of his well-established guests. Just please remember when calling in to be on your best behavior. This is a G-rated show, you know. Hey, that was a wicked rhyme! Anywho, just be sure to be kind and courteous. Now, on to the main event!
I think I need to install, like, a ding-ding, get a ding-ding on the audio clips. So after he says it's the main event, I can actually get it going. How's it going, everybody? This is Host Most Jimmy Falcon back with another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio. I see our special guest is on the line with us at the moment, Neil Ross. How's it going, Neil?
Good, Jimmy. How are you?
I am good. My dogs don't start barking. I'm good. It was earlier this year we last talked, and now you got the book out. So I guess I just want to start with that, and we can go wherever we go from there. What made you want to sit down and write a book about, man, like over 40 years in radio and voiceover and acting in general?
Well, I did a personal appearance in Los Angeles, and it went really well. And I started thinking, gosh, you know, I could write a monologue and then go out on the road. The first half of the show would be a monologue, and then the second half would be questions and answers. And I started writing this monologue, and at a certain point I realized this is not a monologue, this is a book. And then I thought, could I really write a book? I never thought I could, but somehow, little by little, it ended up getting done. So it's a monologue that's completely out of hand.
Well, I think that might be good, though. Maybe it's better to get everything out on paper, and if you can get some great feedback from it, too, that's more the merrier.
Well, as a friend of mine said, if nothing else, you have a wonderful book for your grandchildren, if any. And, you know, I suppose that's true. I've always been kind of curious about my paternal grandfather, and I never really got to know him, and I would ask questions of my father, and he really either didn't know a lot or just didn't feel like talking about it. But so my grandfather's a great mystery to me. And God knows at almost 600 pages, I won't be a mystery to mine if they read this thing.
Wow, 600 pages. That probably even had to have you thinking, wow, I've had an amazing life.
Well, that's the interesting thing. I think if somebody had just a year or two ago said to me point blank, have you led a particularly interesting life? I probably would have said, no, not really. And then you sit down and you start to write some of these stories, and after a while you go, I really have kind of stumbled into some pretty interesting situations over the years. And maybe everybody has, really, if they sit down and think about it. People, the comment that keeps coming up over and over again by people, you know, who have actually known me over the years is, boy, what a phenomenal memory you have. You remember these things. I'd forgotten about most of this stuff. And maybe that's true. Maybe a lot of people just forget and they don't realize they've led interesting lives. But this surprised me when it all got down on paper. Boy, a lot of things, a lot of different things, a lot of interesting things.
I think it's great, and it's just a story in itself that you were born in England, you then moved to Canada, and then you were raised in California. That's like the first book right there. So many experiences.
Yeah, it's interesting. My wife was a service brat, so they got moved every 2 years. But I was close behind her. Not because my father was military, but because he never seemed to learn that no matter where you go, there you are. seem to have this almost childish idea that if we move, everything will get better. And it never did, but he kept trying, God bless him. And I went through this 4-year period where every time I started school, I was in a new school district. And that's kind of tough.
But I'm sure about the time you make new friends and then you have to move away from them. And then about the time you get settled somewhere else and you make some new friends, you have to get away from those. That seems mm-hmm. like, unfortunately, standard military life. And I'm sure back during, you know, during World War II, it had to be even worse.
Yeah, well, of course, I was around, but I was sort of concerned with playing with my toes and drinking formula. So I really didn't soak in the entire experience.
Just, I guess, meaning looking back now that you've done all these great things, it has to be interesting to me to think, well, I was born during one of the worst worldwide catastrophic events in World War II. It's amazing.
Yeah, my parents would talk about the Blitz, as they call it in England, or they called it. And, in a way, for a period of, I really don't know how long the V2 era lasted, but for at least for quite a few months, they experienced the equivalent of a 9/11 on a nightly basis. They just came every night, and you could hear them. And my mother described hearing these engines overhead and knowing that it was this rocket, and that this when it ran out of fuel, it would just drop straight down and explode.
And
you would hear this engine, and you would pray, keep going, don't stop. And, of course, if you got your wish, you condemned someone else to death. But
yeah.
And you imagine just experiencing that on a nightly basis. And I think it's hard for people to imagine. My mother, for the rest of her life, when she would hear a siren, like a fire engine or an ambulance, she would tense up. Because it reminded her of the air raid sirens.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, yeah, those are scary.
Yep.
Yeah, you mentioned 9/11. That's kind of, I remember where I was on 9/11. I'm sure you do too, but I guess that's my generation's Kennedy, is how I kind of always put it. Anyone that had any memories of life and were around would remember 9/11 because it shook the U.S. to its core, but you mentioned, you know, as bad as it was for us, there was nothing along the lines of a world war.
Yeah. Well, that's where America, up until 9/11, they were very fortunate, other than the Pearl Harbor attack in 1941. America never really, was attacked on its shores. We always went somewhere else to fight.
Yeah.
And 9/11 was really the first and only attack on the mainland United States. But that's an interesting observation, and I would agree with you because I'm old enough to remember Kennedy and obviously 9/11. And I would say they're rough, to my way of thinking, they're roughly equivalent. And it sounds weird to say the death of one man is the equivalent of the death of, 3,000. But he was the president of the United States, and the idea that the president of the United States could be shot in broad daylight like that was unthinkable to us as what happened in New York,
Yeah, in the 60s, people were clean cut for the most part. They had decent jobs. They had, the Chrysler out front, but that shook a nation. I guess that was kind of, you made a point, you can't compare to 1 to 3,000, but it shook a nation. And I guess getting off of that, but I did have some questions. And
mm-hmm.
you've been acting voiceover-wise for over near 40 years now, or over 40 years. And I'm not sure if I brought this up in the past, but what is your opinion on voice matching? I know a lot of voice actors, especially today, the big roles tend to go to the Ben Stillers, the Eddie Murphys, because of their face recognition, not so much the children's going to know who they are. What's your opinions on voice matching, and even today versus the past, or all together?
Well, when you say voice matching, are you talking about actually trying to imitate the celebrity, or where they use celebrities in the movie version of a particular thing, and then recast with other people for the television?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, the last.
Well, it is what it is, you know. They just won't even consider us plain rap folks for those parts. They just go to celebrities, and then if there is a television version of a particular concept, that's when we get a crack at it. And I guess we should be grateful that we even get that, you know. You can't fight City Hall. It is what it is.
That's a good point. That's probably the best point someone's made off that question, because a lot of people, at least as far as the mainstream roles coming down with television shows and video games and stuff, they don't seem to like that as much. Maybe because it's not an original voice, and I could understand that.
Yeah.
And of course, go ahead.
No, I'm just going to say fame pretty much trumps everything these days, no pun intended.
Fame is great, it's great, it's lovely. Fame. You have some great roles in the 80s, and even some shows that have been remade now, and that was kind of where I was going next, was along the lines of no more original ideas, it seems, for movies or for, you know, as far as cartoons go, Voltron, mm-hmm. Transformers, all this stuff has been remade, the Smurfs. What's your opinions on that, that there's not very much original content on the Hollywood side, so to say? There's more kind of on the internet and underground.
Well, you know, it's an easy... I've never done one of these things. I've never worked that side of the business, but I'm led to believe that it's much easier to pitch an already existing idea than come in and pitch something completely new. The decision makers find some comfort in, oh, well, this was a hit once before, so this probably could be a hit again. Yes, all right, that makes sense to me. What do you think, JB? And they go ahead. They're much, much more willing to green light something that has already existed in previous years. And then sometimes, I don't know, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. In some cases, they do a reboot, and about all that's left is the title. You know, they completely change everything, and that annoys some fans. On the other hand, if they stick to what was done before, everybody says, well, this is very unoriginal. I mean, it's just the same old thing. And so you're kind of, you know, in between a rock and a hard place. And, well, as I said, it's just a much easier sell to do a remake of an existing concept that's already been successful. I think that's why that happens a lot.
I was always interested. I figured, you know, the normal person says, oh, they're just out of ideas. So they go in the past, but you did make a good point. The name recognition doesn't necessarily mean the same exact show, movie, video game, et cetera.
Yeah. Well, it's just tough. You know, there was a guy named, I think he's still around, William Goldman, who wrote a number of wonderful screenplays, but he also wrote a book called Adventures in the Screen Trade, which is a marvelous book. I highly recommend it. And I think in the first page, he says, let's get one thing straight. I'm paraphrasing. He says, in Hollywood, nobody knows anything. And then he goes on to say, they all think they do. They all say they do. But the truth is, no, they don't. Nobody knows anything. I mean, you put some sort of a project on the air or out in the theaters, and it does extremely well, and you look like a genius. But, you know, two weeks later, you put something else out, and it flops. Now you're a bum. I mean, nobody knows anything. A lot of it just has to do with luck and chemistry and timing. And these folks who have to make these decisions to green light a project, I mean, they are committing millions and millions of other people's dollars to something. And if it fails, they're toast. So in a way, you can't blame them for saying, let's play it safe. Let's go with an already proven concept. We'll just tweak it a little, you know?
And, of course, you know, that's true. Very good point. Because I guess sometimes it's easier to tweak than to create.
Yeah.
And you're still busy. And yeah, I mean, going out on a ledge is never easy. You're still going strong, acting in 2018, and you got the book done. Where can people find the book, and what does the future hold for you, Neil?
Well, question one is real easy to answer. I have a website, and if you go there, you can find the book in four formats: print, Kindle, PDF, or audiobook. And the website is hopefully very simple and easy to remember. It's neilbook.com, neilbook.com. And I tell all my radio adventures, well, not all of them, because I'm concerned about the statute of limitations, but many radio adventures. And then I talk about how I managed to break into this amazing little-known field then called voiceovers, which hardly anybody even knew existed. And all the adventures I had doing that stuff in the 80s, the 90s, the O's, and even on into the teens. And, you know, if you were a fan of Voltron or Transformers or G.I. Joe or Spider-Man or a bunch of – I talk about a lot of the shows that I was in and the people I worked with and for. And if you're at all an animation fan, I think you'll find a lot of stuff to enjoy in the book. So neilbook.com, neilbook.com, and that's the end of the commercial. Now, question number two, what's in the future? you know, I don't know. I continue to work, not nearly as much as I used to, but that's okay because, you know, if I get in there 2-3 times a month, I'm happy. I don't need to work day in and day out, fortunately. And, you know, I love to do these fan conventions. They fly me here, they fly me there, and I get a chance to meet people, shake hands, and pose for pictures and sign autographs, and that's a lot of fun. And, you know, I'm poking around trying to sell this book, and we'll see. Maybe the book opens some new doors for me. I don't know. It's hard to say what the future holds, but I'm optimistic. And, you know, even if there's not a great deal left for me to do, as you'll see if you are kind enough to read the book, I got nothing to complain about. I had a hell of a life and a hell of a lot of fun. I got to spend most of my adult life doing exactly what I wanted to do, things that I loved, businesses or professions or callings that chose me. I didn't choose them, they chose me, and I got to spend my life in what was to me very meaningful, exciting work. And how many people can say that? sadly, very few, I think, really. So that's my situation in a nutshell, a big nutshell.
Well, I say that the book goes well. They make a movie out of it. They get Brad Pitt to play you.
Yeah.
And you're back on, you
yeah,
know,
if they make,
you're,
if they,
they
if
have
they
original
make a movie
content
out,
there.
If they make a movie out of it, I'll be played by a celebrity. But I might get to play me in the TV version.
when production costs go down and they move it to Nickelodeon and it's animated, they're like, hey, we actually have the real Neil Ross's number. That's classic. Well, Neil, thank you so much as always.
Jimmy,
appreciate it.
Thank you for letting me come on and talk about my silly book, and it's been a pleasure.
Yes, thank you for just being a great actor in general, a great voiceover actor. So many shows I grew up on, and I can't count how many times you've given me an interview. So thank you so very much, Neil. And I look forward to going through the book. I'm very looking forward to that. Looking fun.
Okay, well, I hope you enjoy it.
Oh, I'm sure I will. And best of luck with all the future projects and maybe a part two or a movie coming out of it. Who knows?
You never know. You never know.
All right, Neil.
Okay,
well,
Jimmy.
Enjoy the great weather. I'm sure that California is so much better here. It is ice today. It's rained. It's been windy. Fall's hitting us. So go, enjoy
well,
the weather,
we got a wee bit of wind going, but other than that, the sun is shining and the temperature is probably hovering in the upper 70s. Somehow I will survive.
Yeah, you got to love the Santa Ana winds. All righty, Neil. Thanks a lot. And talk to you in the future. Appreciate it.
Sure. My pleasure, Jimmy. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Alrighty, everybody, if you missed a little bit of the interview, if you missed the last 5 minutes, if you missed where to pick up the book, you can go back in about 10 minutes or so into the archive, download it, or listen to it. You have many options. You can put it on MP3 player on your phone, flop it on a CD if people still use those things. I have a cassette player in my truck. I'm very old school. No shows coming up at the moment. I have some fires in the on at the moment. Got some stuff I am trying to work out. And computer is working great now. But a couple things that you should remember is, of course, Dark History coming up in November. So I don't have my calendar right now. But let me pull up the actual computer calendar, if it lets me. Yep, there it is. November 16th, 17th, and 18th, 2018 at the Garden Hotel in Urbana, Illinois. It's always a great time with Brian Ward and company. Dark History and HorrorCon, DHHCon.com, or Dark History and HorrorCon on Facebook for tickets and information on all the up-to-date guests, appearances, vendors. There's even a radio area. Do you believe that? That is so cool that there have been so many podcasters and radio personalities that have become involved with Brian. And Dark History Con is growing so big, and his friendship and the networking we do is very much appreciated. So check out Dark History and Horror Con if you guys are in the Central Illinois area. And, of course, looking forward to next year, we have the Salem Toy and Comic Expo in April 2019 in Salem, Illinois, and the return of SoCon, which I believe is in August of 2019. Don't quote me on that one because, as I said, the calendar is not where it should be at the moment. Big thanks again to Neil Ross. If you want to check out the book, neilbook.com. You can get a hard copy. You can get the PDF. And then check out An Extraordinary Life of the legendary voiceover actor, radio personality, and now author, Neil Ross. All right, guys, stay tuned to Cloverleaf Radio on Facebook and the Cloverleaf Radio Network. Big shout-out to my friends and fellow co-hosts on this crazy thing we've called a network, Cloverleaf Radio, Josh, Ariana, and Jane. That's right. We're the network, people. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a great night.